know, every time God moves, the devil wants to move. And I said on Wednesday night, there's two spirits at work. And there's only two spirits. And it's not your brother or sister that's against you, it's the devil. It's not your brother or your sister. You might think it is, oh, he's against me or she's against me. It's not. It's ultimately the devil. For the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's the devil. And the enemy just wants to upset everything. That's what he wants to do. That's the way he works. But it's always a good sign when he kicks the heels up. And God's ultimately in control no matter what happens. Praise God. Do you believe that tonight?
Yeah.
Praise God. And we just thank God for the word of God this morning. And I do believe it was after the Lord. And we just praise God for it. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. Everyone knows these scriptures. But I just feel to share them again. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, sorry, chapter 2, verse 24. Just one verse. 24. And the Lord bless each one tonight. And I'm really sorry those that gave this morning, but somebody robbed it. And we just pray, you know. I was thinking when I came in, Ron Peterson one time lost quite a sum of money. He was going somewhere. And he heard for Brother Branham, God told him, you believe it'll be wherever you want it to be. And you believe it to be there. And he had hired a car out, and the money was in the glove box of the car. But he said it wasn't in it when he searched it before. Perry Green tells a testimony well about a pocket knife. And he tells about a ring. I know myself one time I lost the wedding ring. But it's on me tonight. I lost it for over a year. Well over a year. But I have still the same ring on tonight. The day I get married. God can do it. You know, the man stole the car, and William Branham prayed, and that man stole the car, left the car back, because the Holy Ghost convicted him.
Amen.
God can do anything. We don't think he can always. We limit God. We have an opinion and say we have faith, but God wants us really to have faith.
Amen.
That he can do anything.
Amen.
Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's read this verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen.
Let's just pray for a word of prayer. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your precious and holy word. And we know that your word is the truth. Lord, as we come tonight, we ask you to cover us with your precious blood. Cleanse us and sanctify us, we pray, with the washing of the water of the word. Father, we just pray that you restore all that's been lost.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, that you bless our gathering together tonight. For we're gathering together in your name.
Yeah.
The name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We know, Lord, and we believe you can do anything because you are Almighty God. Help thou our unbelief. Forgive us for when we doubt you and misbelieve you. Help us to have faith that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. For Lord, your word says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not.
Amen.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless your word to their hearts tonight. And even though we might know these things, may the word of God never become familiar, but may we feed upon it and rest upon it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help and anoint me tonight and to break every yoke. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to read this again from the Amplified Bible if I can. Now, this is just a small wee testament. John the Eiling actually bought me this wee testament some years ago. Listen to this, the same verse. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as an altar, and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And we know that it's in the past tense. The Lord is our healer. Just like the Lord is your Savior when? 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ prayed for your salvation 2,000 years ago. The night or the morning or the evening you got saved, that's not what it was paid for. It was done 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit brought you and me to the place of repentance, for we received it, to where we accepted it, but it was already paid for in full 2,000 years ago. And so I believe tonight healing was paid for 2,000 years ago. Now we know many people don't preach healing today. It won't make any difference to us. We're going to preach it.
Amen.
I believe myself. I can't answer for everyone here, but I believe he's a Savior, he's a healer, he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and I believe he's a coming King.
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart. And I believe if we preach healing, God will heal. You say, but you know, we're saved tonight. There's not many of us here. Why are you preaching healing? Why would you preach to someone else? Because there's people here need healing.
Right.
And the Bible says that the Lord sent his word. And he healed them.
Right.
And he delivered them.
Right.
He sent his word. And he done it.
Amen.
By turning away from God in disobedience, man lost the blessing and the protection of God. And we heard about that this morning. And came under the curse and the power of the devil. And this way the devil was able to bring upon man's body many forms of pain, sicknesses and diseases. Because man disobeyed God. However, God in his mercy still desires to bless man and save him. Not only from sin but also from sickness. And for this reason, Christ on the cross bare not only our sins, but also our sicknesses. Therefore, by faith in Jesus, we now receive physical healing for our bodies, as well as forgiveness and peace for our souls. What tonight we start by saying, who brings sickness and who brings health? Just like somebody brought sin, somebody brought sickness. We heard this morning about it. Who brings sickness and who brings health? We heard in Genesis 3, verse 16 to 19, how the enemy deceived Eve. And she disobeyed. You would return to the first epistle of John 3 and verse 8. You would read the same thing. First epistle of John 3 and verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
So the devil sinned from the beginning. So the devil is the one that caused it all to start. And just as the devil caused sin to start, the devil caused the start of disease and sickness. Came by him. He's called the deformer, not the transformer. The Spirit of God transforms us. The Spirit of God renews us. And we're literally going to have a body change. We're going to be transformed.
Right. Amen.
But the devil's a deformer. He come to steal, rob, and destroy from you the very blessing Jesus paid for you on the cross. The devil wants to take from you. The Lord doesn't just save us that we say we're saved, like a brother said, but the Lord's at work for every single person in this room.
Amen.
And Now your work's different from mine. Mine could be different from yours. But God's got something for everybody to do. When you read of the great woman, and I was thinking the other day about Sister Suzanne, because I was thinking, hope she doesn't mind me saying that, sister. I was thinking of Suzanne Wesley. And Suzanne Wesley was a woman of prayer. What would ever become of John Wesley, and what would ever become of all them other Wesleys if Suzanne Wesley had been a dedicated woman in prayer? You'd say predestination. Yes, but God used her. God used her as a vessel to pray, and she did pray. And if ever you want to read a life story, read the life story of Suzanne Wesley. I can tell you it's an absolute blessing. Now, I would say she's one of the greatest women I've ever read about, in my opinion. I'll tell you another one, which was here in Belfast. Another great woman was Willie Mullen's mother. And Willie Mullen's mother prayed for every single one of them boys, and they had a large family on a cobble floor, and she individually prayed for every single one of them every single night.
Amen.
And Willie Mullen's own testimony said, when she came to him, he was the last one, she prayed a special prayer over him every time. And she said, one day, Lord, make Willie a great man of God and a great preacher. Now, Willie Mullen definitely wouldn't have seen a lot of things what we would believe. We know that. But I'll tell you one thing, he won souls to God. And you can go near about anywhere across the world and you'll hear of people that could see him through the preaching of William Mullen. And I tell you, when we obey the portion we have, start to work with it, God can bless it. Revelation 12 tells us, if you turn to Revelation 12 and verse 9, Revelation 12 verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, the Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know what says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, he's come down, having great wrath, having a short time to go. The devil is against you, and the devil is against me. We can be so caught up, he's against me, she's against me, it's the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he's the one who first deceived man, and he tempted man to disobey God, Satan. Why did pain and sickness and death first come? If you go to Genesis 3 and 16 to 19, you'll tell us, it tells you, because man disobeyed God. And because man disobeyed God, sickness and sin came. Disobedience brought it about. Our brother Samuel quoted this morning, obedience is better than sacrifice. We must obey God.
Amen.
If the Lord speaks to you to do something as an individual, you need to do what God tells you to do. Don't tell somebody else, you do what God tells you if you're not willing to do what God has told you. Every one of us is individuals. Now I know some people believe God can't speak to individuals, but I don't believe that. Because I believe it's an individual affair. And I believe Revelations that he's put out of the so-called church and he stands at the door and knocks, and that's an individual affair. And whoever will open the door, he'll come into them and he'll sup with them and he'll speak with you and he'll commune with you. And God can speak to you. Now I know God can speak through gifts, through preachers and all them things. I believe all that. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God speaking to you and me as individuals. And many times when you read the Word of God, the Lord is speaking to you. You hear people saying, old people years ago, the Lord spoke to me, give me a verse. And they might write it down somewhere. You say write it down of a whole Bible, yes, but a verse specific could be spoken to them. And they'll hold on to that specific verse. And they write the verse down and they put it in the wallet or the car. and put it on your body. You know the Jews do that. They carry the word on them. How many knows that? Did you know it's good to put a scripture on you somewhere? Where? And I know it's in our hearts, but it's good to carry a verse. How many believes this tonight? Well, I'll tell you what then, if you don't believe it, carry yourself a joke. A worldly joke or a worldly saying. Good luck to you. Or some nonsense. We have no fear, and you're sitting all these pack of cars and all this nonsense. The world carries stuff, don't they? The world's not afraid to tell the jokes, they're not afraid to play the music. We shouldn't be afraid to carry the word of God.
Amen.
Carry it in your vehicle. Carry a Bible. Don't be afraid to carry a Bible. It's the word of God.
Amen.
Put a scripture in your pocket or your wallet. Carry it. Wear a text in your coat or something. Don't be afraid of it. Advertise Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he's alive.
Amen.
He's not dead.
That's right.
For he is the healer. Amen. Praise God. All this sickness came because of death, which came upon man. Genesis 3 tells us man's disobedience. Now you know who brought this sickness. If you read Job 2 and 7, you'll know that Satan brought the sickness. The same devil that brought the sickness in Job 2 verse 7 is the same devil that brings the sickness today. A lot of people think, I'm suffering for the glory of God. Well, why did Jesus suffer? We've read, himself bore our infirmities. Himself bore our diseases. Jesus Christ took them on the cross. And we can believe in him. And he is a healer. He brought sickness on the woman here in Luke 13, if you read it. If you read Luke 13, who brought the sickness? Let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13, let's read 11 to 16. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. They didn't give him a pat on the back. They answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which man ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So these fellows were religious. There's a lot of people like that today. They're religious, but when the Lord moves, they don't want it and they don't believe it. But they're religious. The devil's religious. Don't think the devil's not religious. The word of God says that he's transformed as an angel of light. Many a time he preaches. Do you know that? He's a good preacher too. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And the Lord healed her. When me and Brother John McFadden and Brother Andrew was in America, we heard a great testimony of a wonderful man of God. And he was having powerful deliverance meetings. And he went to his hotel room. The people with him wondered why he was in there so long that he didn't come out. And he tells how a man came to him, and the man addressed him by a name,
And he gave him his name and everything. And he told him, he said, you see all these other men here in America. And he named the area. I'm not going to mention it. He says, I will bless you the way they're blessed if you'll just change a few things with your preaching. And you will have a mega church. There'll be no church bigger in all the world in the church that you'll have if you do these certain things. And he gave them all these instructions. And the man of God said he was afraid because he realized this was the devil transformed before him, speaking to him. And he says when he came out, he watched him and his form changed as he went and he slipped away. And he named to him several mega churches in America, and this man had visited them preachers. And you know the message, you don't need me to tell you it. It's all about money. There's none of it about repentance. It's all about money. And this man believes it was the devil. And you know Paul the Apostle said, even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel than I myself has preached, let him be accursed. For there's no other foundation that's been laid than the original foundation. I said Wednesday night, the old sister used to say to me, have you ever went round the foundation? You cannot lay another foundation. You cannot build on another foundation but on the one that's already been laid, and that's the only one we can build upon, which a foundation, the Word of God says, it's sure. It's a sure foundation. We don't need another foundation. That's why God couldn't send a message to bring us back to something that wasn't originally there. If God's going to bring a restoration, it had to be originally there. To restore something is to bring it back to its former glory or its former beauty of what it originally was. And Adam before the fall had no sickness. Adam before the fall had no sin. And Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price for me and you. To pay for our salvation, to pay for our healing, to bring us back to the original form, the original condition. You say we'll never have it in these bodies. That's true in one sense. We need the body, the redemption of the body to it. But we can receive healing while we're here on the blessings of God.
Amen.
But I tell you, the devil goes about like a roaring lion. Who brought this sickness on the woman here? You know the devil did, by spirit of infirmity. There is a spirit of infirmity. Just like your sister or brother prayed for that brother in Londonderry, that's an attack of the devil. Now, if all mamas can out selling newspapers and stuff here, there's no problem at all. But the fact that he's going to preach the gospel, the devil's against him. And I tell you, there's witches today, and you don't need to go to Africa to find them.
That's right.
They're right here in Ireland.
Right.
And there's some of them in the government too at that. They're everywhere. That's why we need the spirit of discernment.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost to move. Satan by the spirit of infirmity brought this. Now you look at the book of Acts 10:38, and you'll see who oppresses people with sickness. You go to Acts 10 verse 38. And I just want to show you this from the scripture tonight. You say, no, all these things, that's good. Well, I'm going to remind you of them, if you know them. Because the Bible says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
Jesus' ministry was to go about and do good. Now here's the question I'm going to ask tonight. Has the ministry of Jesus changed? No. People say we're preaching Jesus. We believe in the ministry of Jesus. Well, this is part of the ministry of Jesus, is to set the oppressed free. That's part of his ministry. The Bible says he went about doing good, not evil.
Amen.
And you know when you go to do good, the enemy's never far away.
You know when I saw when they went over on the boat and Jesus was going there to do good, isn't that right? And the devil tried to sink that boat. He did not want the Lord to reach the other side because he knew when Jesus would get out there that that man that was possessed by demons and devils, and the Bible says a legion, which is an army of them, he would be set free. It's wonderful to see a devil go out in terror.
Amen.
And I tell you, God can cast out devils. Don't you think he can't, for he can. And I've seen many times where devils has went out. Many a time. In many different parts of the world. And I tell you, God's able to do it. And you know that one devil can talk to the other devil. Did you know that? You hear in William Brown's meetings, but he said the demon here is crying out to another devil over there, come and help him. And the word of God casts out devils. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Jesus cast them out with his word. Now, has the ministry of Jesus changed? No. The ministry of Jesus has never changed. The message of Jesus has never changed. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The presence of Jesus has never changed. I don't feel the Lord's presence. We'll get closer to him.
If you get close enough to the Lord, you'll feel his presence.
The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's the word of God. And as we get closer to the Lord, I believe as a fellowship, God wants us to get closer. As individuals, he wants us to get closer to the Lord. So that we can know the presence of the Holy Spirit. As I said on Wednesday night, I know it's just a little example and it's very, very simple. But I believe it's real. Can I do it again tonight? Would that be all right by the chair? All right, brother, you come ahead. Isaac told me a powerful testimony this morning. Oh, we prayed for something for the Lord Jesus. Now, first of all, I want you to stand here and look at this chair. You stand here, Isaac. Now, you look at that chair. What do you see? You see a chair. Now, you sit in that chair. Where are you now? How do you know you're in the chair? You can feel the chair. Now, do you see the chair there now? No, but this chair. You don't see this chair here. No, this chair, the chair you're on is not here no more. Sure it's not. Because you're on the chair. And you can feel the chair. God bless you, brother. Isn't that good? I know that's simple.
But once you receive Jesus Christ, you're no more looking at it. You have it.
Amen.
You have it.
Amen.
And I believe when you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God will give you it to where you literally feel it. The anointing, how could the anointing come on you and you wouldn't feel it? The Bible says the anointing wasn't Jesus. Do you believe that? Now, first of all, there was no feeling. Now understand what I'm saying. When you look at that chair, you don't feel anything. Because you're seeing the chair. But when you receive the chair, you know you have the chair.
Amen.
You don't need nobody to explain it no more. Because you're on the chair, you have the chair. You no more see the chair in front of you. You possess the chair. And you have the Lord tonight. Lift your hand in this room if you believe you have the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You have the Lord Jesus tonight. So the Lord's already with you. And the Lord's your baptizer. And the Lord's your healer. And the Lord's your coming King. And the Lord can give you the blessings pressed down and running over the top. No matter what the devil says to you or does to you. And I believe with all my heart. And I tell you it's real. When you possess Jesus Christ, he possesses you. When you receive him, he comes in you. And he comes in you to stay. and he comes in you to live, and you have him. He doesn't leave you. The word of God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're on the chair. You don't sit in front of you, for it's with you.
Amen.
And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Though I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, I was talking to my friend, and he prayed at her brother Gary's house, and he believes it. He believes what he prayed. He accepted the Lord as a Savior. But after the man got saved, they wanted to take him to rosary bead classes and all these different things. And I don't want to say too much about it because we report it. But he still knows he's saved. And I told him, and I said, listen, I said, you see, when you got saved, you've took the first step. You've come in. Now you're in. Now it's up to you how far you go when you come in. Amen. You can go on deeper with God. You can get so close to God that you can feel God.
Amen.
I believe that.
Right.
You can pray till you're terrified.
Right.
To where you're in a room praying and you're afraid. You've prayed so much, you're afraid. And I tell you, that's a good place to be. And I would to God every one of us could be there. Honestly, I'm serious about it. That we pray through till we know His presence. And I tell you, I believe in the presence of God. This Bible here I have is called the Healing Presence Bible. It's a King James, but the title on the front of it, a Healing Presence Bible. I never knew the price of this Bible. I seen this Bible in a house in England. And I looked at this Bible and I seen there's loads of quotations of great men of God through every page. Scriptures are marked on healing and the different scriptures. And I said, well, that there's some Bible. And he said, it's yours. Have it. £300 it cost. I come to find out. Never knew it a few weeks ago. The Lord, let me have that Bible.
Amen.
It's just a Bible. But I believe in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, God can heal you, and the pain goes. And how do you know the pain's went? Come on now. How do you know the pain's went? I had a pain right here, right the whole way here. Now look. Let's step, I'm getting on now, Gary. Let's step. Gary's uncle used to stand on a 6-inch block, like this, with legs together, like that, and he could touch the ground. I couldn't do it. But I have no pain when I do that now. Do you know how I know of no pain? I don't feel any pain.
Yeah.
The pain's gone. But I believed for the healing while I felt the pain. And I testified to the healing while I felt the pain. And I said I'm healed while I felt the pain. And as I testified and as I believed it, I now feel no pain. But I did feel pain. But even though I felt pain, I didn't testify to the pain. I testified I'm healed. And if you testify and tell it, you're going to feel it. I can guarantee you that. God is able to do it. God will bring it into the manifestation. Isaac wasn't just a word to Abraham. Isaac wasn't just a sign to Abraham. But Abraham handled him. He was a living being. He was a young man. That's what God done. And God can manifest to you from His word what He tells you. God is able to do it. Do you believe that tonight? I believe it. God is able to do it. You notice when the devil does things, right when you have a need for someone, he'll rob you of it. That's how he works. That's to discourage your faith. That's to put you down in your faith. That's that he doesn't want you to get up. W.P. Nicholson said, when the weakest of the weak get on their knees and pray, the devil fears and trembles. And he says, if you have a time where you spend in God in prayer, you will notice somebody will ring you that doesn't normally ring, or the door will rock, or somebody will come about. Anything to disturb your time of God. But the best thing to do is just go away with God. Have everything else, whether it's a phone or whatever, to distract you, just leave it somewhere else.
Right.
and go and spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
There's no time like the time spent in the Lord's presence. It's wonderful. And you know, when the Lord's presence comes, the Lord's presence can come to you. Many a time I've been driving in a wee van, the presence of the Lord comes. And I'm weeping and everything. You'd think if you'd have seen me in the road, you'd say that boy's head's wet. What's wrong with him? You see, the old fella said one time, there's two types of people, talk to themselves. There's a fella that's head's gone, and there's a fella that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the two type. Amen. Hopefully we'll be the ones that's talking in tongues and talking to the Lord.
Amen.
Not the fella that's heads went. Amen. What does God promise to do for him who obeys him in Exodus 15 and 16? In Exodus 15 and 16, he says he will put none of these diseases upon you, but he will heal you.
Amen.
If you obey the word of the Lord will bless you. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will add to his church. Now, you know, one soweth, another reapeth, but it's God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
I could go somewhere and preach and see people see it. And another fellow could preach over here and see people see it. Now it's not down to me or him, it's down to the Lord.
Right.
I was obedient when I went, he was obedient when he went. If you could get people to come here, I believe they could get saved as well. But it's everybody working for the one same purpose, for the kingdom of God. So that no man can glorify only Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight?
Right.
None of it building a kingdom here or there or yonder. If we're doing that, we're wrong. It's about the Lord's kingdom.
That's right.
His kingdom. He said, I will build my church.
Right.
The Lord said. The Lord said, I will add to my church. The Lord said. I was thinking this morning, isn't it really amazing? William Branham said that God will take the working on a family. And he could bring most of that whole family in. And you think how God's been doing it. Look at that young brother Collins came and his sisters came. And Leo Luke, Stephen came. His mother came. His father came. His grandmother came. Now Lynn's sister came. And that's not about where they could see him. That's not important. Some of them get saved in these meetings. Some of them get saved in other meetings. But the important thing is they came. It's God that brought them.
Amen.
The Lord called them. But I believe in praying, really praying for different families, really praying for individuals, that God will move in families and bring them in. Bring the move of God through them. God is able to do it.
Amen.
And you think of it, you think, well, you know, our relatives, they're bad or this or that. Well, look at William Branham's family. His dad killed a man in a knife fight. Did you know that? He was a drunkard. They drank whiskey. And every time William Branham went to drink the whiskey, he said that whirlwind went over him. And it scared the life out of him. And he was afraid to drink it. And they said, you're a sissy. You're not a Branham at all because you can't drink whiskey. Or moonshine, whatever it was. Maybe it wasn't whiskey, but moonshine. Strong stuff, whatever it was. But he never drank it because God kept him from it.
Amen.
But God moved in that family. They weren't churchgoers or anything. God can move in a family. You say, but there's none of them believe. Well, then that's great, isn't it? Because God could bring them in.
That's right.
Amen. God's able to do it. What two things does God promise to do for his people to serve him in Exodus 23 and 25? The Lord promises to bless your bread and bless your water and take sickness from your midst.
That's right.
That's what God promises to do.
Amen.
In Exodus 23 verse 25.
Amen.
He promises to bless your bread and water. That's your substance. The Lord promises to bless it. A brother said at the start of Brother Mark, you can't outgive God. The Lord will bless you. You cannot do God. Many times, you know, I've went through times, many a time. Didn't know how it was going to work. Didn't know how I was going to get the money for it. And the Lord done it.
Amen.
God just done it. I'm sure there's others could testify to the same.
Maybe sometimes God lets that happen, that we seek Him more for it. Look at this at Deuteronomy 7 and 15. Does sickness belong to God's people or their enemies? Deuteronomy 7 and 15 tells us sickness belongs to our enemies, not us. The enemies of God. And the Lord will take away from the midst of thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil that seizes of Egypt with thy years upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
Right.
You know, God said to Abraham, I will bless him that blesses you.
Yeah.
You know, even when Balaam come down on Balaam, they hired him to put a curse on Israel. They couldn't do it. How many knows he couldn't do it? He didn't prophesy what they wanted him to prophesy. And they were cross over it, weren't they? God put other words in his mouth. Look, God, sickness belongs to the enemies of the Lord. Now there's two things, Psalms 103 verse 3, brother. There's two things which David says the Lord did for him. Two things. Psalms 103 and verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. I want you to hear these words. The Lord's already forgiven you. You are forgiven and it's forgotten. I was going to preach tonight in the forgetfulness of God. Isn't that really something? That He says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. We're all guilty at times and we remember things, but the Lord doesn't. The Lord doesn't remember them. They're gone in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And He says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. And look, who healeth all thy diseases.
Amen.
You say, brother, I haven't heard it. Something. Well, I'm telling you, you can inherit this. Because when you were born of your mother and father, you were born a sinner. You were a sinner by nature, you were a sinner by birth, but when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were born again.
Right.
You became an inheritor of the Romans chapter 4. What's Romans chapter 4? The imputation. The imputation of what? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. You inherited, you received that blessing. The Lord did not impute to you your sin, He says, but He imputed to you His righteousness. You received it because of what Jesus done on the cross. The same Lord that let you inherit His righteousness says that by His stripes you're healed. So you have inherited the healing. It's in the atonement. It's in the documents of the Lord. You say in the documents, absolutely, because He could swear by no greater, He swear by Himself, by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie. It came in by an oath. God swore. You know the Bible says that? That He could swear by no greater, so He swore by Himself. That which is impossible for God to lie. What else did it say? That we might have strong consolation. What else? To lay hope. To lay hold on the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both steadfast and sure, that entereth into that within the veil. You're in Christ. In Christ. All the blessings are in Him. In Christ. All the blessings. All the blessings are in the Lord. Praise God. Now I won't try and go through everything. But if you look at the third epistle of John, chapter 2. What three things did the apostle John wish? And his Christian friends. Three things. What he said. Prosper. Here it is. First Epistle of John, brother. John 3. Or Brother Yule. Where's the Brother Yule? Small John Yule calls it. 3 John. Chapter 2. Or verse 2 then, it must be. You're right, brother. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Write down number 1. Prosper's number 1. And be number three. The Lord wants to prosper you, and the Lord wants you to be in health. Even as your soul is prosper, your soul see it. There's nothing can change the fact of your soul salvation. But he's saying, even as your soul prospers, he wants you to prosper while you're here. Wants you to prosper. The Lord wants to bless you. Do you believe that tonight? Prosper. Now I know some people preach too much on prosperity and all that, but there's truth in it. God can prosper you. He can prosper you in your work. He can give you favor in your job. He can give you a better job. He can give you a pay rise. How many knows God can do all them things? I used to work for £150 a week. I'm not joking. I know it's not. Really, that's not much, is it? £150 a week. You're saying, I know, Tom, but you're 59. That's a long few years ago. That's probably true 30 years ago, but £150 a week. And the fella came to me, and he said to me, the firm I was working for, he said to me, you're working on Wednesday night. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, Tom, I'm the boss. You're working Wednesday night. And I said, hold on a minute. I'll work for you Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, but I can't work Wednesday night. I have a church service Wednesday night. I can't work it. He says, you're going to have to work it. Now, this same boss of fellas that get drunk, they worked Sunday for the double time and got so drunk they couldn't come to work on Monday, and they were all right. But I worked the normal hours. They wanted me to work a Wednesday. Of course, I wasn't working. Said, you'll be first to go. I said, see your office. Go and get my P45 out of it.
Amen.
I'll not be working a Wednesday night. And he did. He didn't do it that night, but when the payoffs came, I was the top of the list to go. And he paid me off on a Friday, and I come home, and there's one fella on the job. He paid him off as well, and there was toilets, and he took a sledgehammer, and you know the rest of the story, what he done with the toilets. He took it powerful bad. He took it bad. Then he was paid off, just like, put it like that. And he got drunk. He got drunk.
Amen.
On the job on the same day. He got himself drunk and he wrecked the place. But I got paid off. They gave me the P45 and some other ones first to go. I came home and I was praying. And a brother Mark quoted the other week, when you give to God, he'll bless you. There's a fellow pulled up outside in the van. And he says, I need a man like you, could you come? I says, I'm coming Monday. He says, that's great, double the wages. That wasn't the end of it. I went as a semi-skilled man. I could do a bit of joinery work. I never served 5 years of joinery or whatever years you served. I'd never done that. Somebody will say, well, then you're not a proper joiner. That's probably right, but made no difference anyhow, I'd done it. I went and I started. And this firm had men that was meant to be joiners, and they were hanging doors. And between the two of them, they hung three doors in the day, and the boss came. And he came on the job. And I told him, I said, I'm not a joiner, but I can assure you, they're not joiners either. And he put me in to hang doors, and I hung six doors the first day and eight the next day. And you know the rest of the story. I was with them for years, fitting kitchens and hanging doors. And the wage went up again. And my wife can tell you, for 4 years, I had a wee book, and I had hardly a week below £500 home every single week. 1 week I made so much they wouldn't pay me at all. I made over £1,000 in 1 week. And I'm going back 20 years ago. God bless you. God can bless you. There's why. Because His Word says it. Amen? Now look at this. That they may prosper and be in health. Their soul prosper. Now in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 19 to 20. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 19 to 20. How many of God promises may we claim through faith in Christ? How many of them? Listen to what this says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen. All of them. promises of God. So when the enemy tries to tell you, sister, the Holy Spirit might not be for you, you say, no. No, no. It's for me. Amen. I'm claiming it. Amen. When he tries to tell you, brother, healing's not for you, you say, oh, hold on. No. It's for me. I'm claiming it. You believe it. Amen. You hold on to the Word of God. Oral Roberts once preached a message called Holding On to the Rope. Probably nobody, maybe in here ever heard of it, but he preached a powerful message, holding on to the rope. And it was a powerful message. Don't give in, but hold on to the rope. And God's Word, we're holding on to the Word of God. And God says He'll do it. If you were to read the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 8. I can turn it quickly in my Bible, but I'm trying to go slower than I... Maybe sometimes I rush through too quick on scriptures and then people don't get them. But for what purpose was Christ manifested to the world? And you read what it says here in verse 8 of the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy works of the devil. Amen. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. So the thing that's against you and against me, the Lord came to destroy. So He's on our side. Amen. 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 Isn't that great? The Lord's on our side. Amen. The Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So when the enemy tries to bring things on our families or in our individual lives, we have a right, according to the Word of God, to rebuke it. The Word of God says, whatever you bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. God has given me and you authority. You say, when did I receive this power? When you received in the church. Amen. You say, is that right? Scripture says it. The Word of God says, till as many as received Him, to them give me power. What else did it say? Even to them that believe upon His name.
That's right.
Do you believe upon the name of the Lord tonight? Then you receive power. Because the power is in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, whatsoever as you put your hand forth to do, do all in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
The power is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We pray in the name of the Lord. We're healed in the name of the Lord. We're baptized in the name of the Lord. We're saved when we call on the name of the Lord. It's all in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and 9, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick in the name of the Lord and they'll be healed. James, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick because they're doing it in the name of the Lord. It's the name of the Lord that does it. Not the name of the church or the name of the organization. It's the name of the Lord. I'm going to have to close. The time's going. I'm not going to go on. But it's the Lord that does it. Do you believe the Lord for your healing tonight? I'm not going to ask nobody to come for prayer or anything. You, those that's already been prayed for, I want you to believe it. You believe like this chair that's not in front of you, but you possess it. You say, I don't feel anything. It'll come. How many knows that'll come? How many believes that? Just like I felt the pain, I don't feel the pain. Now I believed while I had the pain, but now I don't feel the pain. But while the pain said you're not healed, I had to testify I'm healed. Now the Lord healed me of this before. And then I got myself hurt again. I said, I'm not a dumper. He one of them big 9-ton machines, you know, them dump trucks, and give me a big rattle. Acting a young 16-year-old on it, you see. Doing the agent, as they would say. You know. Do you ever get one of them machines and it gives you a real jerk? How many have ever done that? You know you can hurt your back. But the Lord can heal it. He's the healer of the night. You believe for whatever you're praying for, you believe for it. Do you manifest it?
That's right.
I'm telling you. If you're sincere and you've been really praying for, you believe for it.
God's going to give you. I'm telling you tonight, God is going to give you. God will give you, but he can't fail. God cannot fail. Let's come stand our feet tonight. Praise God. Let me just say, in case I forget, you know, with announcements, I'm terrible, I forget. But the Lord willing, the Brother Andrew will be with us next weekend. We're not sure when Brother John Noble's funeral is. I would like to went till it, but God would have to make the way for me to do that. But Brother Andrew will be with us here next weekend, the Lord willing. Then the weekend after that, the elders will be preaching, Brother John and my dad. I'm going over to England just for a break on the 5th of July, just for a week for a break with the family. And then we weren't sure if we could get the hall on the Wednesday the 10th, but we're going to have the hall. The Brother Mark's here, I thought. Brother Mark was away. So Brother Mark's going to do that Wednesday for us on the 10th of July. And then we come back on that weekend for the marching season. And just pray for all the services. Pray as Brother Andrew comes. This is an opportunity. Maybe some people would come to hear Andrew, mightn't come to hear me. I know that. But that's an opportunity to take, to bring them. To bring them in to hear the Word of God. So let's take inventory, as the man says, and let's try our best what we can do for the kingdom of God. And as our brothers prayed, that whatever gift you believe you have, use it. It's like a stone wall. One stone missing, the wall's not complete. You need every stone. Let's come and bow our heads. And I'm going to pray, and then our brother's going to sing and whatever the Lord leads. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for the precious Word of God. Lord, we know you're a Savior. We know you're a healer. We know you're a baptizer of the Holy Ghost. And we know you're the soon coming King. Father, you see everything that's happened today and took place. Lord, we just commit everything to thee. We ask that thou will indeed direct our paths. Bless our goings out and bless our comings in. Bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Father, we ask again for all the individual families that's represented in this room tonight. Lord, you know the people that's been praying for the wife, for the husband, for the son or the daughter. Lord Jesus, we pray you'll send the Holy Ghost on them.
Amen.
And you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Father, even for this box and these things, send the Holy Ghost, we pray. Do the work, we pray, Lord. Lord, if you can recover a car, then a box is nothing for you. Father, we just commit it all to you tonight and ask your blessing on everything and upon your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Gary. God bless you.